Welcome to the Court of Appeals. On my right is Judge Moore, on my left is Judge Enbody, I'm Judge Irwin. The first matter this afternoon, is in re interest of Brennan Z.
Good afternoon, Your Honors.
And again, just for the record, I forgot to say this, I have to say the name of the case twice, so this is in re interest of Brennan Z. Good afternoon, and
good afternoon.
Please.
I'm Attorney Ronald J. Elvin, and I represent the appellate in this particular case, which is a juvenile court termination of parental rights case out of Madison County. Move things along, Brennan was born in April of 2009 and November of 2010. A juvenile court petition was filed, and within about a year of that, his mother, who was on probation on a felony out of Butler County, had that probation revoked. She went to York in 2011. Brennan, during this period of time, was staying with his grandparents, which would be Cassie's mother and father in Norfolk. For the next 3 years, mother had her privileges revoked or whatever. She wound up being in New York. But all during that period of time, Brennan was being brought down to her for visitation. And so when mom finally was released in April of 2014, and that's the most important period of time, she's back in Madison County. And within 4 months of her release being in Madison County, even though Brennan is now 5 years old, a termination is filed. And 4 months later, to terminate her parental rights. By the way, the trailer that was furnished to her by her parents had a fire, and she was charged with arson in October of 2014. And I just bring that out because the termination was already filed in August.
And that arson charge hadn't been resolved by the time of this termination trial,
no,
had it?
It was not. It was still pending. And even though it was pending, some of those witnesses were brought in as part of the termination trial. The state fire marshal and a young man testified that she admitted she did it, but she had been convicted and had never had been convicted prior to the rendering of a termination order. And I believe that was in May of this year.
When your client was released from York and from parole, what did she do to put herself in a position to be able to parent this child?
The record would show that she tried to look. She looked for jobs. She was doing babysitting to the dissatisfaction of the worker who wanted her to get a more traditional job. More traditional job like working at Subway. For some reason, she got herself either let go or fired or whatever. But she never did have an outside job. She would always do these odd jobs of babysitting for a friend. And as I noted in my brief, visitation was going good for probably about 2 months. And then again after that, Cassie maintains that she didn't hit it off with the social worker. And there was a total collapse of trust and reliability by either my client or... by my client. I got removed from the case, so I'm having to argue off of the evidence that the prosecution put on. And if Cassie were here and to move things along, she would say, it just isn't fair. I get out in April, and already they give me 4 months and they file just like that. The record did show that even the grandmother had to admit at the termination trial that there's a strong relationship between mother and child. Cassie did try to subpoena her son to come to testify and was not allowed to do that. The judge overruled that particular request. And yet, the son's comments about his mother never came in during a trial. They came in maybe laterally or whatever, but Cassie would say, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because I had a relationship and nobody complained about it until... again, April through August, when all heck broke loose. Cassie believes that the best interest test was not met, and that for 5 years she had a relationship with her son and nobody complained. It's just that when she got back to Norfolk and ran into a caseworker that was equally headstrong as she was, and they didn't hit it off and things went downhill real quickly. If there was another legal theory out there, it would have to be one by Frank Rubitschek, and that was, this just ain't fair to Cassie that her parental rights were terminated in the fashion that they were.
Sure, there are no questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. If it may please the court, my name is Gail Collins. I'm a deputy Madison County attorney, and I was the prosecutor on this case throughout all 5 years. Gail supports me in this case and declined to come today. The only issue before this court today is best interest. This child has been out of home for 5 years. He's been out of home for 75% of his life. He's with loving grandparents who have provided and will provide to him permanency, stability, safe and secure environment where his physical and educational and emotional needs are met. And he has bonded with them. And he is still in need of protection. And this is a mother who's been given almost 5 years, in fact, over 5 years at this point, to rehabilitate herself. And she is unable and unwilling to rehabilitate herself. She is unable to provide a safe and stable environment for this child, and she is unable to meet his emotional and physical needs.
Wasn't the majority of that time, though, wasn't she incarcerated?
Yes, she was. The record actually shows that the removal was in November of 2010. She had about 3 months before she had, I'm not certain what it was out of Butler County, probation was revoked, or I think she might have been sent 90 days at DME. After that 3 months, her probation was subsequently revoked. She was sent to prison in May of 2011 for drugs, and I think there might have been a tampering witness charge out of my county as well. And when she was in prison, and I don't remember the amount of time, but it's in record, she ended up jamming out. The evidence was before the court that she had 22 infractions. In January of 2014, she had her work release taken away from her on two occasions. She went from, I believe, from York to Bukuk, and she work released back to York to work release back to York. So her own conduct during that period of time meant that she had had a longer time in prison than she would have been if she had had good conduct. And during that period of time, there were visits, but they were limited. Grandparents brought the child down, but there was periods of time when there could be no visits, and I think the record shows that. So I think the critical period that we look at is, yes, she was given opportunities. She was given opportunities to do courses in prison. She was given an opportunity to do what she needed to in prison. But even when she was in prison, she wasn't cooperative. There was a worker who went down to visit her, and she was absolutely belligerent and nasty to her. But the real test comes out when she was released at the 48 mark, when she was released at the end of April. She actually jammed out. She was on parole for a period of about, I think it was 6 weeks, and all that would have been in 2014. And the first month she got out, HHS thought she was being tested by parole. Parole wasn't doing anything in any event. So she got a full month free of less than, not a great deal of scrutiny. However, in May and June, she did some things. However, there was a team meeting in June of 2014 where she was actually belligerent to all the people, refused to do anything, actually took the child on her lap when everybody was saying, please let that child go out. What you're doing is totally inappropriate. She certainly didn't consider the best interest of her child. And then come July, she had no further visits. July and August, she couldn't be tested. The worker couldn't find her. There was evidence that she wasn't doing all the things. She was absolutely doing nothing. She wasn't looking for a job. She wasn't, her parents had been paying for her rent and all her matters up until, and her food until sometime in July, and then they decided to cut her back. And then at that point, there's evidence of her having inappropriate people there, having all kinds of questionable people coming and going from her place. She's not doing visits. She's not seeing her child. We can't test her. She's refusing to test. And then, of course, there is evidence in the record that she had a marijuana charge, I believe it was in September in Buffalo County. And then, of course, the October charge of arson, which was pending at the time we went to trial, but clearly there was overwhelming evidence that she committed that arson of a trailer that was supposed to be where that child would live. So when you look at all of that evidence, her lack of cooperation, actually her violence, her aggressiveness, and that is evidenced by how she treated her parents and the child during the two visits she had, unexplained or uninvited visits to her parents' residence where that child was. The evidence of the therapist, who was a licensed independent therapist called by the state, was that this mother was actually mentally ill. This is a mother who is unwilling and unable, maybe, to rehabilitate herself. The issue of best interests, there was lots of evidence on that, and certainly there was an uncontested issue. There certainly was no evidence provided by the mother, and she was given that opportunity. She is the one who fired her attorney. She is the one who said very inappropriate language to a witness on the stand and to the judge, and it was her who decided not to come back into court. According to the social worker, there was not a positive bond between this mother and this child. This child was afraid of the mother coming and going, afraid she was going to be under the influence, feeling threatened, etc. However, the best evidence in this case, in the record, is the therapist, who was a very strong witness for the state, and her testimony was that this is not a secure attachment, was her terms. I believe it's a therapeutic term. And she said, this child suffers from reactive attachment disorder. This is a child who would have, by definition, during the first few years of life, suffered trauma, abuse, and neglect. And we clearly have that. In the record, the child was removed because of numerous injuries to the child, and then after the child was removed, it tested positive, or the child tested positive for cocaine. And the therapist testified as well, what creates that insecure attachment? It's a persistent disregard for the child's emotional needs and for the child's physical and safety needs, and very much an inconsistent caretaker. This was a mother who was totally met that definition. She had an opportunity. She was given overwhelming time in this case. And the real test was when she got out of prison for the final time. And she utterly, utterly failed that. When the mother was in prison and the child was in therapy, the child's behaviors decreased. When the mother got out of prison and was having contact with him, this child had horrible behaviors, defecating, wetting his pants, physically aggressive, and when she was subsequently arrested for the arson, those behaviors declined significantly. According to the therapist, the mom was the trigger for those behaviors. So this parent is, two more minutes. This is a child whose parent is, according to the therapist, very detrimental to him. I would submit she's an unfit parent. The history shows it, and as to the prison time, not only was she in there for a much longer period of time, but it was, and I know we have to, what the case law says on prison time, but clearly it was her activities, her voluntary actions that put her in York and kept her in York during that long period of time. There is nothing this child will gain by a continued relationship with her, and there's a lot this child will lose by a continued relationship with her. I would submit in conclusion that this is a case of overwhelming evidence that it is in the best interest of this child that her parental rights be terminated. Thank you.
Thank you. How much time does appellant have?
Cassie were here today, she would say she disagrees completely with that argument. And with that, I would waive any further argument.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Alden.
Thank you,
Ms. Collins. The matter is deemed submitted. You're excused. Thank you. Next matter is Folkman versus Folkman. Counsel for appellant, if you're ready,